If you're haunted and harassed by your own inner critic, if you've ever been curious about why hypnosis works so well, if you're a seasoned hypnotist, or if you suspect that the inner critic is actually hypnotizing you to hold back from reaching the greatness that you know deep down is inside you, lean in and get inspired to get out of your comfort zone and create your one precious life with purpose and intention. If you like this show, you'll love my powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room, because it gives you crystal clear guidance and direction and illuminates an ingenious way to make triumphant decisions, no matter how stuck you feel or how confused you were. This powerful hypnosis audio is my gift to you when you go to theimpostermonster.com. Again, that's theimpostermonster.com. Don't forget the. Theimpostermonster.com. And yes, I'm done saying it. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. I'm Lori Hammond, and I'm truly grateful for you. I am so excited for today's podcast episode with Scott Sandland. I just finished the conversation, and so I'm coming in to introduce you to him. Most of you know who he is, but if you don't, Scott is the former world's youngest hypnotherapist. He was the only hypnotist to be simultaneously on staff at a doctor's office, a dental office, and a drug rehab center. Scott is the founder of HypnoThoughts.com, the largest free resource in the history of hypnosis, and co-creator of HypnoThoughts Live, the largest hypnosis conference in the world. During this episode, Scott will share how to accept constructive feedback from people who want to see you succeed, how to reject criticism from people who want to be bullies, and how to know the difference. I think you will absolutely love this conversation, and I can't wait to hear how well you like it. Scott, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited to talk to you today. And if you would just dive in and talk a little bit about the origin of HypnoThoughts. I know the first time I walked into HypnoThoughts, I went to the top of the stairs and I just remember like the feeling of love in that place full of these hypnotists was almost palpable. So talk to me a little bit about that and what brought you there.
Yeah, and by the way, thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun. So it started off, HypnoThoughts was a website and a long time ago. So I built HypnoThoughts.com. It was called the MySpace for hypnotists. Like that's how, like it was, Facebook existed, but everybody was doing MySpace at the time. And I realized like there just wasn't good tech for sharing hypnosis information. And like, there was like message boards, but they were just old outdated technology. So I built HypnoThoughts.com and it was, it was integrated with YouTube videos and a better chat system and just, it was just better technology. And so I had that going. And we got to like 25,000 members, you know, and in the days before Facebook, that was a really big deal. And so it had become this thing. And I was always a speaker at conferences. I've been to something like 70 hypnosis conferences. Like I've been to a ton of them. And like for the first 10 years, I was the youngest person at every one I went to. And so I was going to conferences and I was speaking and I was doing all this stuff. And it's controversial. I mean, it was filled with controversy is how HypnoThoughts came. The NGH was at the time the largest hypnosis conference in the world. And they had, you know, about 1,000 members or 1,000 attendees. And somebody said, hey, are you going to be at the NGH convention? And I said, well, I wasn't planning on going this year because me and the NGH never really got along. I was much more an IMDHA and ABH guy and a couple others, but whatever. And so I said, yeah, let's do some sort of meet and greet at the biggest hypnosis conference in the world. We'll do something. And they said, hey, let's get like buttons so we can identify each other and like see each other and say, hey, we know each other from online. This is great. And I said, yeah, that's a good idea. And my mentor, Michael Elner, was, you know, well known at the NGH. He said, you know, Scott, you should check. And this was all public. He said, you should check and make sure they're okay with this. And I was like, you know what? That's right. I'll do that. So I reached out to them and I said, look, my members are asking to wear buttons to identify each other at your convention. I'm not trying to like step on your toes or take your thing or anything like that. It just sounds kind of like a fun thing for the people who are going to be at your event that are paying you. And if you need me to get a vendor booth, I will. I'm not asking for anything or any special treatment. And I'm asking for permission because I'm trying to be respectful. And they wrote back this incredibly rude, how dare you ask us, you know we hate you email. And I was like, oh, awesome. And I'm the kind of person who's like really comfortable in uncomfortable situations. And like, I love that stuff. And so I was like, oh, cool. So where I said, hey, I'll let you know what they say on the message board, I just posted their letter. And I was like, this is what they said. They said, how dare you even ask? You know, we hate you. And I was like, see, they hate me, guys. Sorry. And then a guy who also hates me is a guy named Cal Banyan, who was like this big deal at the NGH. And he went on to hypnothoughts.com and he wrote this like scathing thing saying, Scott's trying to steal the people from NGH. And we didn't have a thing to steal them to. Like, I didn't have a school. I didn't have a conference. I had a free website. So I was like, what am I stealing these people for? And he wrote this whole thing about how buttons are bad and I'm bad and all this stuff. And then he sent the link to his post to all the NGH people and intentionally sent it out of context. And then there became this huge fight on my website saying, hey, Cal, you ask your attendees to wear buttons saying they're your students. You're a giant hypocrite. And so then he got mad and said he was going to sue me and I didn't do anything. And I'm like, what are we suing me for again? So it was this huge piece of drama. And like, I was getting hate mail and phone calls and how dare you letters. And I was just laughing because like, who, like, seriously, we're hip. Like, I own a website for people who think hypnosis is neat. Like, calm down. So Richard Clark and I were sitting there in our clinic, and you know, I was the executive director, he was the clinical director, and we had a staff of about 8, and we were sitting there reading this and watching it and like just enjoying it. And Richard goes, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna rent an RV and I'm gonna drive it to the NGH and I'm gonna park across the street and we're gonna put a balloons and banners that says this is the fun place for people who aren't assholes, and we'll just have everyone walk across the street to have fun with us. Because the NGH convention is a fine convention full of a bunch of great presenters, but their banquet is historically embarrassingly boring. Like, it's just, it's boring. It's the rubber chicken and like a bad like musical act, unless it was Tom Nicoli, because he's very good. But still, like, boring. And so we're like, we'll do the fun thing. And in the course of like 15 minutes, Richard like found the RV place and like did all this stuff as a total joke. And he put together like a presentation to me and he was like, here we go. Let's just go give the NGH the biggest middle finger we can, which is just crashing their party. And I was like, if we do this, I'm going to get punched in the face by someone and he was like, I will film that and we will put that on HypnoThoughts. And I was like, yes, let's get me punched in the face. And then Michael Elner ended up almost getting into a fist fight at the NGH convention that year with the head of the NGH, Dwight Damon. Apparently they got physically pulled apart. And I was getting these phone calls saying they're screaming at each other, like getting pulled apart from each other. And these are like 70-year-old men. And so I called Michael and I was like, are you okay? And he said, not emotionally, Scott. No, I'm pretty fucking pissed. And this is a longer answer than you thought for your first
I love call. It.
Yeah. And so all that happened and we were like, what the hell? We're just trying to have fun. And we're like, okay, let's just be the fun conference. Let's just be fun. And so we put on the fun conference and we were like, okay, we'll be a conference just like everybody else. And no one else was creating conferences because back then, you need a mailing list to be able to create a conference. It's one of the things you need. And no one really had mailing lists of hypnotists, but I did.
What year is this?
This is 2011. 2010, 2011.
Okay.
But I had a mailing list of 25,000 hypnotists, 20,000 hypnotists, something like that. So I was like, I have a mailing list. I can do this. And so I did it. And I'd already done a couple online only conferences that got like a couple hundred people. And I was like, okay, we'll just do a couple hundred people. And we did the first one. We were totally unorganized, had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. Things were a medium-sized disaster. But the thing we had going for us is everyone was rooting for us. And we had this wonderful sense of community. And the origin of it was, we just want people who are online to get to hug. Like, that was it. Like, I just want to be able to shake hands and hug with these people I've had all these great conversations with. And I love online learning, and I'm a huge proponent of online learning. And there's something to be said for being in the room with someone you respect and really getting to watch them work and really getting to learn from them. And so we really built HypnoThoughts around that. And this sounds ridiculous, but drinking. The social component's really important. And all the conferences I went to were on the East Coast, and I'm on the West Coast. So I could stay up later than everybody. And I was young, so I had a high alcohol tolerance compared to all the grownups, because I was like in college. And so I could stay up late and drink. And so I would accidentally get Roy Hunter drunk. And I've done that a few times, and I've gotten in trouble for it. And me and Shawn Michael Andrews are a little bit drunk, and we're hanging out. And I got to really learn what these people who were on these pedestals for me, I got to like have them become real humans and real people and hang out with them. And the idea of killing the pillar and leveling everybody, and you don't have a badge that says I'm a presenter or I'm a vendor or I'm a board member. You just have a badge, and everyone gets to just be real human beings is such an important part of the event to me.
I got so much more than I bargained for with that.
So sorry. You asked a question that I can't do a short answer.
That was a blast. I feel like I just had a field trip. That was so fun. I had no idea of any of that. And, you know, I'm fairly new to this game. I started studying hypnosis just 4 years ago. So I had no idea of that origin story. And I'm so intrigued. One of the things that stood out to me is what you just said about how HypnoThoughts kind of levels that playing field. And my very first, so I signed up with Mike Mandel and I went through his academy. And then my first in-person interaction was his pre-conference event at HypnoThoughts 4 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm sitting in the very front row because I heard that if you sit in the front row, you're going to absorb the most information. And it's like, I wanted to be the cool kid. So I was sitting directly in front of the podium where Mike was going to be standing. And he walked by me, and I remember thinking, there he is. This is a guy whose podcast I've been listening to, whose trainings I've been through. He was like a celebrity to me.
Totally.
And within the first few hours, you know, by the time we were through the lunch break, it was like, I just saw his heart. Him and Chris both. It's like I put faces to these voices that I'd been listening to. And I just realized these guys just love people. They want to serve people. They're clowns. They're just these awesome guys. And I felt like that was the beginning of an actual friendship. And so when you talk about it leveling the playing field, that was one of my biggest experiences, especially as a brand new, completely green hypnotist. It was an awesome experience.
It is an awesome experience. And, you know, I'm a small part of making it an awesome experience. But there's a lot of parts that go into making it that way. And the fact that Mike is one of the more important people at any hypnosis conference he goes to. He's earned that. And he comes to HypnoThoughts and agrees, he opts in to the idea of, no, we're all going to be equals. He steps off that pedestal, and he doesn't have to. He could be too cool for the bowling tournament. He could very easily say, that's beneath me. I'm one of these guys. And he doesn't.
No way.
And because he doesn't do that, and a bunch of other people, but he's a perfect example, because you get that guy stepping down and stepping into the crowd and playing, it means nobody can be too cool. If that group of guys says, no, this is fun, like, how dare you like be better than those guys who say they're not better than? And so it just creates this huge openness of everybody wanting to just be real people. It's so fun.
I love that so much. Scott, in the context of imposter syndrome and people who kind of wait till they're ready, one of the other key things that stood out in your story is Richard saying, I'm just going to go get an RV. And instead of, you know, waiting and planning and plotting and scheming, he just does it. He just goes and looks up the RV place. And I think there's something about taking inspired action that can create such incredible things. So will you talk to me a little bit about the process of HypnoThoughts going from this idea to the, I believe it's the biggest hypnosis conference in the world now.
Yeah.
Talk to me about some of the obstacles and some of the, maybe the mindsets that you've had to overcome or step into to get where you are.
I mean, there's a lot of moving parts that people don't know happen. And imposter syndrome is a real thing for me. And has always been. I mean, when I went to the IMDHA conference in Michigan in 97, 98, I looked 12 years old. Like, I'm 41 and I still look pretty young. I mean, not as young as I used to, but I mean, you and I both have young faces. And so it's difficult for people to place our age. But when I was 17, I looked 12. So imposter syndrome has been a thing that has been echoed back to me because people are like, oh, you couldn't be good at this yet. You're a kid. And so that's been a thing I've played with a lot and had to step into. And I give credit to Richard Nongard and Richard Clark. Both of them really pushed me to not hold back on that. But when I went to the IMDHA, I went looking for mentors. And I was like, I need a mentor. And Michael Elner and Jim Duncan said, we'd like you to start mentoring people. And I was like, no. I am not ready to mentor people. I need mentors. They were like, no, you don't. You just need a kick in the ass. And so I think that's the thing. HypnoThoughts Live has a small ego and it doesn't take itself seriously. Because in order to take itself seriously, like I take helping people seriously and I take the work seriously, but it's a party. And like, I'm a dude, right? Like there's nothing to be taken seriously there. And I think that helps me with my imposter syndrome because I don't have to be an imposter because the step up to where I need to go is a very small step. And I think that permeates my philosophy on hypnotherapy, actually. Like, I don't do a bunch of big change work. I do really small change work. I work in addiction, I work in pain control, I work in medical, but my job is to make big things small things so that it's easy. What I don't do is build a person up so that they can do a big thing. I just make the thing small so that it's an easier step. And so from a mindset, how HypnoThoughts Live happened was, it was just putting on a get together. It wasn't organizing the thought leaders from around the planet and convincing people to fly in from Australia and Europe and all that. It was just, I bet we can get 100 people just from LA and Vegas. And we just kept the idea small and unambitious. And we'd never intended on having the largest conference in the world. I mean, we've had the largest for a couple of years now, and that was never our goal. And I think that's part of the philosophy is let's just make this fun and easy, and let's just do what's fun and easy. And the stuff that sounds too hard, let's just not do it. And there's a lot of ROI conversations that, and then we brought on Stephanie a couple of years into it. And we just started having conversations on, yeah, that would be better, but it would only be 10% better and it would be 80% more work. So let's not do it. Let's just keep this thing fun so we're not stressed and resentful. And that's it.
There's so much there, so much value. So for anyone listening, I want you to really pay attention to Scott talking about just keeping it fun, keeping it lighthearted. I think when we take ourselves too seriously, it's almost like we block our reticular activating system from seeing creative ideas that will move us forward. And the other thing you said that I love, Scott, is looking at, I almost said trying.
Trying's allowed. You can try and succeed. I don't believe that trying presupposes failure. I believe that sometimes trying presupposes overcoming adversity.
Yeah, especially if it's trying it out. It's like, I'm just going to try this out.
Yeah.
So I love what you said about looking at the impact that different things were going to make and only choosing the things that are fun and that are going to have a huge impact and letting the rest go. Because I think so often people with all or nothing perfectionistic type of personalities that want to wait until they're ready, they try to have all their ducks in a row. But when you come at it at this from this place of experimenting and playing and just doing what matters, it's just transformational.
Yeah, I agree. Like, we don't need to boil the ocean. Like, we can just do a little bit and have fun and it'll go real well.
I love that. I just want to say, so if I was listening to this conversation for the first time and had never been to HypnoThoughts, I would be feeling so intimidated because I'm like that wallflower that stands back and watches all the cool people drink and have fun and wish that I knew how to do that. But because I came into HypnoThoughts really just with the desire to learn, really to get out of my comfort zone, because I love people and I love being social, but it is intimidating for me. So I just want to say for anyone who might be in that same place, this is just the safest place in the world to dive in, to lean in, to get to experience that palpable feeling of love. As I was sitting in one of the conferences my first year there, I remember thinking, what is it that makes, like, these people are just sparkling? And I think it has something to do with that magic. Like, we know that we have tools that can absolutely change people's lives. And it's almost like you can sense that as soon as you get to the top of the stairs.
And there's a couple pieces in there. One is, let's see, how do I do these without forgetting them? So in terms of like the welcoming, disarming component, like I said, I've been to conferences where I was a child at these conferences. Like, I wasn't allowed at the bar. And so, like, I would go to the classes during the day and then I would go to my hotel room and like dutifully study, like sitting in the bed of the hotel, like going over my notes from Paul Durbin, who like 90% of the people watching this have no idea who he is. And he was one of the first hypnotists to ever be on staff in a hospital. And he was just this awesome old dude who was always great to me. And he taught hypnosis medical with Melissa Roth. And like, I would be dutifully reading my notes about how to reduce gag reflex using hypnosis, how to do anesthesia, and then like go to class the next day. And I was missing out on all the fun. And I learned that one morning I was sitting by myself at breakfast and Michael Elner, Peter Blum and Alan Barsky, who are at the IMDHA, three of the living legend guys at the time, and wonderful, important dudes. And they were having breakfast together. And I was two tables away. And they were like, hey, you. And I was like, yeah. They're like, you're here for the conference. You got a badge. Come sit with us and talk. And I was like, what do you mean come sit with you and talk? I'm a nobody. I'm just going to sit here at my own table. And they were like, no, come sit at our table. Come sit with us. And I remember Alan Barsky saying, where are you from? And I said, I'm from California. He said, so am I. Where? We started talking and he was like, and he just ran with this whole thing on, look, we're going to get you elected governor of California and your platform is going to be this idealized ignorance. And you're just this happy, nice guy. And that seems like a good platform. And like, he championed me like the first 5 minutes and it was great. And so fast forward 20 years. And I'm at the IMDHA conference in Daytona. And one of my students is sitting at the bar over there at lunch. And I'm sitting at a table with the Elmans and Jason Lynette and Sheila Granger and, you know, a bunch of the important mucky muck people, right? Like, and we're all, sorry, my camera just went blurry there.
That's okay.
And we're all, you know, making fun of each other and laughing and having fun. And I go over to my student, whose name I won't mention because I don't want to embarrass her. But she's awesome. And I was like, hey, you know, and I'd never met her in person. She'd only learned online. And I was like, come, you know, it's good to see you. This is so great. Come, I got a chair for you. And all of the, and she was like, that's the most terrifying thing you could possibly say to me. There's no way I can sit at that table. And I was like, there's no way you cannot sit at this table. I need you to come sit at this table. And she said, there's too many. There's too many important people at this table. And long answer. One of the cool things about HypnoThoughts Live is there is no table. Like we have lunch and we have dinners and we have all that stuff. And like we pay for lunch so that everyone can sit. And I really, really encourage all the presenters often and aggressively, don't sit with each other. Sit with new people at lunch. Make their weekend. Please go make it easy for them. It's easier for you to go to them than it is for them to come to you. And they do. Yeah. And it's so cool of them. So that's that. So yes, come to him. If you're new and easily intimidated, dude, this is the safest, most friendly place you can have.
For sure. This conversation is inspiring me because I'm totally that person who will sometimes stay in my room. I think people might think I'm a snob sometimes because I'm actually, you know, in high school, we called it shy. And now I realize it's just introverted, but it is such a safe place to start to practice those things. And I know when I'm there this year, and I will be there this year, I'll be more bold about, I've done the bowling one time and I had a blast, but then I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like all the cool kids are bowling. Can I bowl? And so I'm happy we're having this conversation for myself, if no one else. And I have experienced that, you know, that the lunch time is one of my favorite times because you go in and it's just this big room of love. And there are these huge round tables and everyone's sitting around, and it feels like a level playing field in there. It's a beautiful experience.
It's like, that's the decision to buy lunch for everyone was a very expensive decision. I mean, cause you're buying, like we're on the hook for 3,000 lunches. Mm-hmm. Like that's a lot of lunch. And in Vegas with unions, they're not cheap lunches. And so we're on the hook for a ton of money. You know, it's many tens of thousands of dollars. It's you know, I think it's like 80 grand.
And they're delicious lunches.
They're really delicious. Like we totally don't go cheap on lunch. Like we give good food. And we made that decision in part because I've been at conferences where people have their table at the banquet and they say, hey, would you like to sit with me at my table at the banquet? And that is a big deal to be invited to the table. And I have been invited to tables, not bragging, but I've been invited to tables. I was when Robert and Linda Otto bought the IMDHA and they took over the IMDHA and the IACT. They took them over and it was the announcement dinner. Bob Otto said, Scott, I want you seated at my table with my family when that happens. And I was like, oh my gosh, this means so much. And it's such a cool thing. And so I was like, oh, there's a moment of me doing great. But I've also been the guy who didn't get a seat at the table. And I've been a guy who like, whatever, I was talking, I was doing something. I don't know what I was doing, I was late. And so all the invitations for the important tables had gone out. And then I got to the banquet and I was like, oh, I guess I'll just be back here. And I won't be at a cool table. And that's actually how I met Melissa Tears. Was yeah. She doesn't do that stuff. Like she can't be bothered to like have a table or invite people to a table or accept an invitation to a table. She's rolling in with her daughter. They're gonna have the dinner. They're going to mockingly, wonderfully laugh at whatever's going on, and then they're gonna leave. And that's how I met Melissa. Was I didn't get a spot at any of the tables, and I was very intimidated by Melissa because she's such a badass. But I ended up just sitting with her and we became friends and screwed around and had a lot of laughs. So recreating that on purpose is a big part of what we do.
That's so awesome. And for me, just being brand new, and I didn't even know who the important people were for the first time I went outside of Mike. Yeah, for the most part. But I just remember even in the pre-conference, having lunch and connecting with people and getting to know the people that were in the trainings with me, just the everyday people or the everyday wizards and witches who are studying. And some of those connections, I've made friends that we are still close after that first conference 4 years ago. So it's, when you talk about this level playing field, it's not just like the cool kids coming down here for us, but it's the us coming up here with the cool kids. And it's just
totally.
Yeah. Scott,
it's life-changing friendships. Like, it's real friendships that happen.
Yeah. This is so awesome. When I invited you on the show, it wasn't to plug HypnoThoughts, but this conversation is so awesome to me. I just want to go down this trail.
Sure.
Talk to me a little bit. Before I ask this question, I want to share my experience. So I have been to 3 HypnoThoughts now. I skipped 1 year, and man, I have FOMO for missing that year. But last year was mid-pandemic HypnoThoughts. And I know that was hard for everyone, hard for people attending, hard for people with FOMO, hard for people putting the event on. And before I ask this next question, I just want to say that for me, going to HypnoThoughts last year and having it be such a different experience, where it was like a few people there instead of just being surrounded by people, in one way, it was really nice for introverted Lori to have that experience. And I feel like I soaked up so many gems by being there and by showing up. And I felt very safe. You know, you couldn't be in the building without a mask, and you couldn't walk in the building without having your temperature taken. But talk to me a little bit about why a person would want to join HypnoThoughts this year, you know, even though things are kind of scary and in upheaval right now.
Sure. Well, we are recording this in the past for the people who are watching this. So like, where we are in vaccine rollouts today is really encouraging and to me. And to people who don't know me or track that or any of that, last year, starting on March 13th, I put out a video every week updating HypnoThoughts. Sorry, my dog is going crazy.
He's so cute. Is that like a little miniature husky?
It's called a Shiba Inu, but they look like huskies, but he's freaking out because of the guys working in the backyard. I don't even remember what I was saying. Sorry. Conference and COVID and stuff.
Video every week.
Like, I really err on the side of safety and being conservative with all that. And like, we had very serious conversations about canceling the conference or going online only or whatever. A lot. And I watched a lot of smart people. I did a lot of homework on it. And I really followed what the NBA was doing. I thought they were a really good role model of how to be safe and be respectful of the health of all the people, you know, and like the collateral, like the grandmother of the person who works at the concession stand is just as important as LeBron James. And I thought they did a great job of that. And so we took that safety very seriously, and we still do. And so we're paying attention still. Like, I'm actually leaving for Vegas in a few days to go meet with the Orleans staff in person. Stephanie was there a couple weeks ago. Richard's going to be there in a few weeks. We don't screw around on this. Like, we're there talking, walking the place, doing, like, we walked through the buffet options, the food options in person with the catering staff. We really don't screw around. We bring them a couple million bucks a year. They take us seriously and we take them seriously. They give us, you know, the respect that our attendees deserve, and they're great people. So I think with where the news that's coming out on vaccines right now is, once you've had both your vaccines, you probably don't even need a mask. But we will follow the guidelines that everyone says, right? We're going to always err on the side of safety, even if it's less fun, if it makes it more safe. I don't even think we're going to have to wear masks. I might be wrong. And if we do, we will. But my guess is so many people at our conference are over 50. And I think by summer, pretty much anybody who wants a vaccine who's over 50 will have it. And I think, you know, the people, you know, in lower age brackets and all that will, many of them will have gotten it by then. And so just your numbers are looking so much better. And it's worth saying that I think we could all use an in-person conference right now, and especially one that feels safe and inclusive and isn't intimidating, where we all get it. Like, we're all in the same boat. And so we can all kind of come out together and like awkwardly figure out if it's a handshake or a hug, and those moments, and be real with each other in that, I think is great. You know, my brother-in-law came down to stay with us during the real serious part of COVID. Those, you know, there was like a 6-month window that was really scary. And he lives in San Francisco. So he came down, he hadn't seen anybody in like 2 months. And he's like, I haven't seen a single person in 2 months. I don't think that's healthy. I'm just going to drive down. I'm going to stay with you guys. And we're like, yeah, he's great. And he's a great guy. And the first time we went to the park and there were other people there, he freaked out and had to go home back to our place. And everyone was wearing masks and distanced. And it was just to let your kids run around outside. And everyone was following rules and being, you know, respectful. But just seeing 40 people like was upsetting to him, and he had to go. And I understand that. And I remember at last year's Hypno Thoughts, when we were doing remote, and I was talking, I don't think she'd mind me saying this. It was Randy Light. You know, she and I were talking in a Zoom chat room for the virtual side of the conference. She said she was doing a hand drop induction in a class where she had 3 people in person that week. It was her first time doing anything in person since COVID had started. They were wearing masks outside, but she did a hand drop and she touched hands with another person and they both started crying. Just because they were both so missing that. And I think we could all use a conference right now. Like, I think we could all use safe, friendly, familiar faces that we know get it and care. So I think this will be probably our most important Hypno Thoughts since the second one.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about the second one. As he's drinking water, for those of you who aren't watching the video.
Well, the second one was the first one, we did not know what was going to happen. We thought maybe 100 people. Like, we didn't know. And the second one was the first time that we realized what we were going into. And like dumb stuff, like having enough projectors for all the rooms. We didn't have that in year one. Having enough screens. And like, we had screens and projectors in different rooms and we were running every hour to get them to the right places. So year two was the first time we started actually doing it like grownups.
Have you been in the Orleans every year?
Every year.
Okay.
And at first we were much smaller and we've just sort of taken over the entire conference center. I think year 3 or 4 was when we took the whole thing over. But I mean, there have been so many crazy things that had to go right. And you look at other people who tried to do conferences and they haven't gotten the traction that Hypno Thoughts Live has. And part of that is luck. I mean, you have to get lucky. And you have to resonate with the right thought leaders and you have to provide the right value to them to motivate them. And like, we were renting buses in year 1 and 2 and going down to Fremont Street and doing street hypnosis because people wanted to do that. And they were like, hey, can we do street hypnosis? And we're like, yeah. And they were like, let's not rent 50 taxis and Ubers. Let's just get 2 party buses and we'll fill the party buses with whoever wants to go and we'll send them. And, you know, the cops came and there was a whole thing on, we were getting in the way of the buskers and causing scenes. And I had to fill out a police report. Year 3, the state of Nevada was trying to enact restrictive legislation on hypnosis and hypnotherapy that we got involved in like that week. Like, there's been all sorts of weird things like that we've just had to, because I've been to 70 hypnosis conferences and because everyone knows that I'm a fair person that wants to do right by this, I've earned enough street cred with the people who I need street cred with that I can just look them in the eye and say, we got to do this. And they'll be like, all right, shit, we got to do this. And then they'll do it. So yeah, this year I think will be the most important year since year 2.
Well, I'm super, super excited. I was already excited for this year. And I know it will probably be light attendants again, just because of so many people come from other parts of the
world. Overseas people, yeah, it's going to be hard to get them in.
But I think there's a huge opportunity there with a little bit lighter attendance. The people who do show up are going to be have an opportunity to make deeper connections and really, you know, connect with the speakers on a deeper level, connect during lunches at a deeper level, during the different events. When you were talking about the RV, driving the RV up to the NGH conference, I was going to ask you if it had an alligator on it, because you think of the alligator bar at the Orleans, there's a bar with an alligator.
I mean, that's a perfect example of luck. Like, we never planned the alligator bar. The alligator bar was completely organic. The pajama party is not us. Like, that is like the person who deserves credit for the pajama party is Kelly Woods. Okay. Kelly Woods, Hypnotic Women. Kelly's fantastic. I just love her. She's such a great person. And she, year one, did a, what are they called? Flash mob. She flash mobbed our keynote with a dance party with a whole bunch of the Hypnotic Women in year one. Year two, she did a pajama party that didn't work the way she wanted to. And then year three, it clicked and it's just become a thing.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. But the alligator bar, there was in year, the first year Mike and Chris came, I never, in a 36 hour period, I never made it to my room. Because I'd go to the conference center, I'd be upstairs, and I would come down to try to make it to my room. I'd get stopped at the alligator bar, and then it was 7 a.m. And I have to be at work at 6 at HypnoThoughts Live. Like 6 is when my day starts. So it'd be like 6 or 7, and everyone would be coming to set up, and I'd be like, oh shit, I got to get to work. So I'd switch from, you know, beer to coffee and turn around. And that's how Chris and I became friends. Was he was like, dude, did you get any sleep? I was like, I haven't slept in 2.5 days.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I am so excited for this. The last thing I want to touch on, you have mentioned mentors a couple of times. You mentioned that Michael Elner was your mentor. Mm-hmm. Will you just talk to me a little bit about the importance of mentors and the role that mentors have played in your life?
Critical. My only regret is I haven't had more. And I've had great ones. And you know, I used to joke with Michael about this a lot, that he was my tour mentor. And he, you know, he's been gone over a year now. And a lot of people, a lot of people don't know him the way I do. And, you know, one of the honors of my career was getting to teach with him. And, you know, I would teach classes with Michael. And because it was Michael, you know, like, Richard Nongard and Roy Hunter would be students. And you're like, why the fuck is Gil Boyne taking a class from me? And it was the greatest thing. But everybody wants to say nice things to each other. And everyone wants to say, hey, you're doing great. And the importance of a person that you can listen to and who has earned the right to call you out and to push you out of your comfort zone and to guide you in a direction you wouldn't want to go in, but is the right direction to go in, is fantastic. You know, kids want ice cream for breakfast. And part of, you know, mentoring and parenting is, you know, the ability to say no and to guide them to the thing that's best for them. And, you know, my son asks for chocolate for breakfast every day. And so we found a chocolate milk that's healthy. But we like that's the game, is it's not about saying what they want to hear. It's about saying what's going to help them move forward. And I've been very, very fortunate to have, Michael Elner as a mentor, to some extent, Richard Clark and Richard Nongard have been mentors. They've also been friends, and they are friends. And I think I've shifted because I've grown up. I also a mentor that I had early on in my career that absolutely changed my life. Was a dentist named Dr. Sherilyn Sheets, because I started in dental hypnotherapy and I worked on staff in a dental office for 8 years. And I've hypnotized more people for teeth grinding than any hypnotist on earth ever. I've hypnotized thousands of people to stop grinding their teeth. And with, you know, 6 month follow-ups, I've been published in the Journal of the American Dental Association. I've taught grand rounds at dental schools and medical schools and all that stuff because I had this woman who was willing to boss me around and take time out of her busy schedule to tell me how to do a whole bunch of really stupid things right that I was getting wrong that allowed me to become a professional. And it's not just about knowing how to hypnotize people. It's about all the other trappings of clinical work, I'll call it, and that sort of process and that sort of environment and that sort of aura that you generate that helps the client. And then Elner, you know, really pulled it in the other direction, and he was very disarming and didn't care about any of that stuff and didn't need any of that stuff. And so having this push and pull of a person who's, you know, very structured, very by the book, you know, dentistry, you know, it's microns and millimeters. And then having Michael Elner, who's very broad strokes and paint a barn kind of thing, that helped me to learn that your mentor isn't always right. Your mentor is made out of people and people make mistakes. And so it also, I mean, in the last 5 years, 10 years of Michael's life, the number of times we would swear at each other was pretty awesome. And the number of phone calls that started and emails that started with, "God damn it, Michael," and "God damn it, Scott." And we would yell at each other, and it was fantastic. And I earned that by going to conferences. I earned that by being in the way. And I really think of it as being in the way. Like, your odds of getting hit by a car go up dramatically when you're in the street. And if you want to get hit by a mentor, you should go stand in the street. And so I did that. And I just went and I stood in the street and I went to as many conferences as I could find. And I would volunteer because I couldn't afford to pay for the conferences. So I was the dude holding up the 5 minute warning signs at a bunch of conferences. And so I learned how they worked because of it. And the industry that we are in, the profession that we are fortunate to find ourselves in, is a profession of people who want to help others. Mm-hmm. And so it is easier for us to find mentors than, say, investment bankers. So you should take advantage of that.
I'm so happy I asked that question, because that is a key point for any of you introverts who are nervous about, you know, coming and immersing yourself in this environment of crazy people, like crazy in the best possible way. When you put yourself in the way, you dramatically increase your odds of having that luck. You talked about hypnothoughts being luck. Put yourself in the path of luck and you'll be so amazed at how it overtakes you. And I think a lot of it was that playfulness that, you know, I think luck played a huge part, but how much of that do you think was playfulness as well?
Yeah. And we got unlucky a handful of times too. And we were fortunate that we believed enough in what we were doing that we were able to absorb problems and keep moving and not let things be deal breakers for us that would have been deal breakers for others. And so we were able to absorb those and kind of keep going through it.
Scott, are you okay on time if I dive into one more? Okay.
Totally.
Something that you said about mentors and about them giving you this feedback and helping you, for me, it's like helping you see your blind spots and move beyond them.
Yep, yep.
Can you rewind back and put yourself in the place of, I was going to say young Scott, you're still young Scott, younger sure. Scott.
Sure.
And you know, think about maybe the first time that woman gave you feedback about your dental hypnosis, and perhaps, if you're like me, maybe it felt like a punch in the stomach at first, and then you moved beyond and took that. I don't know if that was your experience, but talk to me about receiving feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a background in athletics and, you know, I trained at the Olympic Training Center and I played college water polo. Our team was third in the nation. So like high level, high competitive, very physical kind of stuff. And so that is coaching, right? And that's being coachable. And getting yelled at by coaches. And, you know, I've been yelled at by coaches my whole life. And so getting yelled at doesn't bother me. And I know that, in fact, when you're being yelled at by your coach, it means he's counting on you. And he's not just thinking of you as the dude third off the bench. He's like, I need you to be great. And so getting that attention is a sign of respect and a compliment. And so that she agreed to take me on and mentor me. I mean, we didn't even formalize it and say the word for years. Like, she had been mentoring me for probably 2 years before we ever said the word mentor. But I remember the first time I was reprimanded in that office. And it was constructive and it was right in hindsight. But yeah, I mean, I felt like I was failing when she said it. And I was like, oh my gosh. Because immediately when she said it, I was like, oh, I suck. I should not have done that. And I didn't realize I had just painted myself into a corner and made everything harder and worse. But I did. And so she said, this is what you did wrong. This is why you can never do it again. This is what you need to do instead. From now on, you are not doing that anymore. Do you have any questions why you're not doing it? And I was like, oh. And just little things, like she would look at, like we would have these sort of impromptu 10-minute things every now and again, because a dentist measures things in 8-minute intervals. They don't even do 15-minute intervals, they do 8. And so you'd get these little windows of time and pockets. And she would say, you said cool in the office in front of a patient. And I was like, yeah, it was cool. And she was like, don't ever say that in my office again. Things aren't cool in this office. Water is cool in this office. Things are acceptable or excellent or exciting. They are not cool. You are way too young to get away with using casual conversation. And I was like, noted. And, you know, I was like, yep, you're right. Thank you. And in my head, I was like, I've ruined everything. But the ability to not let your ego get in the way of it and let these people tell you stuff. And of course, you know, ultimately you get to make the decision and you can tell people no. But I like the idea of learning the rules and then deciding which ones you're going to break.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So you should break rules. Everyone should break rules. Everyone should, but you have to be able to defend why you're breaking the rule. And okay. Like, be able to say, this is the rule I'm breaking and this is why I'm breaking it. And then I love it.
Agreed. Can you talk to me about the flip side of this coin? So many people that listen to this podcast are wanting to start making a difference in the world. And they realize that doing that means they have to put themselves out there more. And putting ourselves out there opens us up to criticism. So there's this idea of feedback from a trusted mentor or someone who has your best interests. And then there's this idea of bullying, critical.
Oh yeah, especially with the internet.
Yeah, oh. So talk to me about how to receive or to allow that to bounce off you when people say just mean things.
Oh, the amount of hate I have received is shocking. Like, laughably, hysterically large amounts of hate. There was a web page titled Shame on You, Scott Sandlund at one point. Created by another hypnotist who will remain nameless, about why I'm the worst person ever because of HypnoThoughts Live. I've been threatened with 5 or 6 or 7 lawsuits. And in every time they have been threatened with a lawsuit, I've said, okay, I'll go, let's do it. I'll go to court. And not a single one of them's ever done anything, because no one, that's not a thing. There are always going to be bullies and jerks. Like, there just are. And there's always going to be, I have gotten yelled at and told I'm a bad person for giving away cash in a raffle. Jeez. I gave away a $100 bill, randomly selected, name from a hat. I gave away a $100 bill and was yelled at because somebody didn't win and how unfair my selection process was. I have been like, you can't please everyone and you're not supposed to please everyone. Yeah. You're just not. And again, my son wants chocolate for breakfast every day. And that means I say no to someone every day. And I have kicked people out of our conference, and they have created a bunch of like you know, they did things that made them get kicked out of the conference. And so then we removed them from the conference and then told them the terms under, you know, we had to have security called on a couple people that, you know, I mean, things happen. And so those people are going to be unreasonable. And these are like horror stories, worst case scenarios. In most cases, it, no one cares. Like, you're the star of your movie, but you are an extra in everybody else's movie. You are a background actor. Everyone forgets about you 10 minutes later. Let that liberate you and set you free.
I love that.
Like, no one cares. No one cares. I own the largest hypnosis conference in the world and created the largest hypnosis resource in the history of the profession with hypnothoughts.com. And no one stops me at airports. No one's curious who I am. And in the, and it's a neat thing my wife and I talk about. For 3 days every year, I'm the most important person in a building. And I am. And then there's 362 days a year where no one gives a shit who I am. And that transmission coming down from HypnoThoughts Live, because, you know, like the hotel gives me a limousine and stuff like that. Like, it's great. It feels really cool. And then I come home and like the day I come back from HypnoThoughts, my wife like just splashes me with cold water. And she's like, make dinner for us. Like do laundry now. Like, you need to get back to being like a human being and realize that you're just one of me again. And so to like, yes, we have to put ourselves out there, but how far out? Like, you don't, to make a difference in the world, you just, it's worth it. It's totally worth it. And it's fun. And everyone has a short memory. Everyone has a short memory now. And everyone has 100 million embarrassing things. And regardless of your political affiliation, we can all agree that Donald Trump has said and done 1,000 things that should end his career. And just because he doesn't care, they don't. And that's one of his superpowers. And again, regardless of your political affiliation, they were like, you definitely paid off a porn star and had an affair. And he was like, I mean, okay. And everyone's like, you can't be the president and pay off porn stars. And he was like, no, I totally just did. And everyone was just like, I guess we just have to move on and be okay with it. And that's what he did. And that's the ability to say, yep, whatever you're mad about, whatever you're upset about, I'm okay with you being upset about it, but that doesn't mean I have to change. That's a superpower. And that's what Paris Hilton had going for her. That's what a ton of celebrities have had going for them. The Kardashians have that going for them. Like, these people, and I know I'm not picking the best role models as I'm saying it out loud, but it's this idea that if you're comfortable with other people, like, not approving of what you're doing, you can get so much more done if you're not spending a lot of time people pleasing. And the people who matter, you'll be able to help them. And I've gotten yelled at for giving away cash. Don't worry. Like, someone will be pissed. No matter what you do, someone will wish you did something different. If you give away ice cream to a room full of people, someone will be lactose intolerant. HypnoThoughts Live has vegetarian meals, and I've gotten yelled at by a vegan because our vegetarian meals were not vegan enough. And I mean, yelled at. It's gonna happen. And the only way to get things done is to accept that as table stakes. It's the price of doing business. And Chris Thompson gets hate mail every month from someone who says he's a scam artist, I'm sure. And not because he is, obviously, just because people, it's easy to call you that. It takes no courage, it takes no talent, it takes no commitment to be mean. And so people who don't want to have talent, commitment, or effort, they just be mean and just see if it works. And don't let them stop you, because they don't matter.
Wow.
HypnoThoughts wouldn't exist if we listened to people who hate us. HypnoThoughts exists precisely because we don't. Like, that's, I mean, to wrap that loop, I mean, that's true. The reason HypnoThoughts exists is because when people get mad at me, I giggle. Like I say out loud, and Jimmy cracks corn and I don't care. Two people in their face when they're mad.
And one of my favorite things about this podcast and the reason I created this podcast is to help people know how to adopt and model the mindsets of people who are making a difference in the world. So if you need to step into your inner Scott Sandlin when people criticize you and giggle at them, I give you permission to do so. Hopefully that's okay with you, Scott.
I give you permission to do it. Let me give you a little quote. This is what I say when people are mad at unreasonably mad at something that I don't care about. Okay. Whenever someone does something threatening, like a lawsuit or someone said they were going to build a larger conference and put us out of business, or someone's going to make sure I never got these presenters again, or any of those kinds of things, or I'm going to make sure your practice fails or whatever. Like whenever anyone, and these things rarely happen. Most of the time people are wonderful and loving and gracious and grateful and supportive. And that's why HypnoThoughts grows, is because overwhelmingly it's wonderful. But when someone tries to intimidate you, there's just one little quote that I've always used that works real well. One of two. One is I yawn visibly right in their face. And the other one is me, and I just say this, ooh, and I walk away. Like, I just, who cares, man? Like, what are you going to do? Like, you own your own business. You're a hypnotist. No one knows what that is. No one knows your job description. No one knows if you're doing it right. No one knows how you should be doing it. Lori, I have no idea how you practice hypnosis. And I have no idea if you should do it that way or not. And it's none of my business and I'm not in the place to tell you. Like, and so the idea of me judging you isn't like asinine. Like if I judge you, like under like what premise? And so the idea of fear of judgment, there's always someone judging you and they shouldn't. And that's their fault, not yours. Just go have fun.
Yes. I love this so much. My arms keep coming up if people can see, because I'm typing all these ideas that I want Cassie to put in the show notes. This has been so awesome, Scott. I knew it was going to be incredible and you have exceeded all expectations.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm so grateful. Is there anything that I haven't asked or that has not yet been said that needs to be said before we say goodbye?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure when we hang up, we'll both think of like 3 or 7 things, but I think this has been like a ton of fun and I've enjoyed it immensely.
So fun. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who has listened. We will put notes below the show of where you can contact Scott, where you can get in touch with HypnoThoughts. It is so important to me that you understand the tremendous value of this conference. Yeah. This conference has been absolutely life-changing for me, and I do not think that I would be where I am in my career today if it wasn't for HypnoThoughts and for being able to just experience that palpable sense of love and connection that happens at this conference. If you have any means to get there, I highly recommend making it your highest priority. It's absolutely life-changing. Scott, is there any place where you would like someone who's listening and can't look at the show notes, where should they go to sign up for HypnoThoughts?
Yeah, two things. One, htlive.net. htlive.net. We also own hypnothoughtslive.com, but we for some reason choose to use htlive.net. I'm not sure why. htlive.net. Also, if for some reason financially you can't afford the conference, we have volunteers. And the way you do it is you are a volunteer half the time. And in that, you're sitting in a room watching talks. And the other half, you get to do whatever you want. And those people, we give them the conference for free. Like I said, I've been that person at conferences before. So if you're one of those people, reach out to us and we've got volunteer spots available. So check that out too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Scott. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful you've listened all the way to the end. What is one tiny action step you'll take now based on an aha moment you got during the podcast? Maybe that life-changing action step is to come accept the gift I have for you at theimpostermonster.com. Head there right now to get your powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room, that lets you make important decisions and get crystal clear about your next step forward on this path of purpose in your one great and precious life.